A former healthcare executive in Southeast Alaska has had to cut short his retirement. Mark Gorman was expecting a little time off this fall, but a week after he retired, he was working in Padang, Sumatra, providing relief to earthquake victims. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Sumatra earthquake struck on September 30th. A pre-tremor served as an early warning for the 1 million residents of Padang, most of whom had evacuated buildings by the time the 7.6 main quake flattened their city. Only about 1,300 were killed, a tenth of the number Sumatra lost in the 2004 Indian Ocean quake and tsunami. Gorman, who's done brief stints of international relief work in the Mideast along with his wife Nancy Knapp, took leave from his search job at the time to respond to the 2004 disaster. They were not alone.
In the Banda Aceh response, 450 international NGOs responded to that emergency. The Indonesians called that the second tsunami because there were attendant problems with the coordination, duplication of service, and the competition, the planting of the agency flag saying, this is my area.
On leaving search, Gorman was hired by Los Angeles-based Relief International as a global relief consultant. Relief International is an NGO, a non-governmental organization. His decades of experience building Search's community health network in Southeast Alaska villages gave him the credentials for the new career, but nature set the start date. Here's how it went for Gorman following the quake on September 30th.
I arrived on scene about 8 days after the earthquake. We had some resources to initiate programs immediately. We then also started writing proposals, and in the vernacular of the relief response, they're called concept notes, and give them to the donors.
The major donor for international relief is the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Although there are plenty of relief workers who assist with search and rescue, provide emergency medical care, and distribute food, Gorman's role is less direct. Millions of dollars in relief funding can accumulate following a natural disaster like the Sumatra quake. Workers like Gorman identify need and then try to create pathways for the money and relief to follow. The business side of what begins as an act of compassion.
I think it starts with concern and then becomes an industry. I think clearly there is a disaster industry out there, and I saw that very much in play in Sumatra, where agencies are on the ground and they're highly competitive. They're wanting to demonstrate their competencies and capabilities on the ground because in there lies their funding. It's a little uncomfortable for me, that element of disaster response.
Gorman was in Sumatra for 5 weeks and prepared 2 concept notes for Relief International, but USAID didn't fund either. Relief International also has its own resources and donor pool. Gorman says he was able to put a project on the ground that didn't require funding outside his agency.
It was interesting. It was a coconut palm milling program. The biggest need there was clearly shelter. 200,000 homes were destroyed by the quake. They figured 250 to 300,000 people were left homeless. And it was the beginning of the monsoon season, so shelter was the highest priority. And so people started reconstructing emergency and transitional shelters from the salvage of their destroyed homes, and they were cutting down coconut palms and milling them with chainsaws at great expense to them. And so we found a community that actually requested some assistance in the milling of coconut palms, and we created a coconut palm milling cooperative.
Gorman says that he's basically on call to do relief stints of 1 to 3 months. Relief International has already identified possible future work in Yemen, Ethiopia, and Palestine. The geography of the last 2 disasters in South Asia was by chance. The next phone call could take Gorman anywhere. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.